Hello and welcome along to the Property Academy podcast by Opus Partners. I'm your host, Stephen Knight.
And I'm Andrew Nicol.
And it's our show. We're talking about how much less tax will you pay once the new interest deductibility rules come. And now, I've just written a column for OneRoof about how much less tax individual investors will pay, because there is some big variation with interest deductibility. And I suppose, what's one of the difficulties with this, Andrew?
Well, it's quite complex. And it's not like every investor pays an extra $100 a week, or every investor gets taxed an extra 5% of the rent they collected. Each different investor is taxed differently depending on when they bought the property, who they're renting it to, all sorts of different things.
And like how big the mortgage is, what your interest rate is. So some people will save tens of thousands of dollars a year, others will save nothing at all. So let's start, Andrew. Come with me into the attic of my mind.
Here we go.
Come on a thought experiment with me. So imagine that there are three houses all next to each other lined up, and they are identical. Each of these three houses are worth $800,000. They've got a mortgage of $600K. They're each rented out for $700 a week, and the owners all have the same interest rates. So pretty much all identical. The only difference is that the houses were bought at different times and they're rented out to different people. Yet of these three properties in front of us, one investor is going to be $152 a week better off under these rules, while another of these investors that we're looking at, they will be no better off at all. So listen to this situation. Tell me whether this person's going to be better off a lot, a little, somewhere in between, or not at all. So Peter and Sally bought the first of these three houses, and they purchased it in April 2021. When the interest deductibility rules change, will they save a lot of money, a little bit of money, somewhere in between, or nothing at all?
A lot of money.
Why is that?
They purchased after the 27th of March 2021, and so therefore they get zero deductibility. They're about to get 80%.
That's right. So they bought directly after Labor announced the new tax rules. They've had no interest deductibility over the last few years, so they have borne the brunt of the rules straight away. So when the rules change, they're going to get 80% deductibility over the next 12 months. That's probably going to save them, on my number crunching, about $8,000 in tax in the first year alone. That's $152 a week. So because Peter and Sally were paying a lot more tax under the interest deductibility rules, when those rules get taken back, they get the most benefit because they were doing it toughest from the beginning. Now, that is the first house of the three. Let's move to house number two. What's the story here? Why are you laughing?
It's got like a weird game show.
Yeah, come on. We're walking down the footpath.
What's behind door number two?
Who are they?
Kendra and Shay. Now, they own this.
You're just making these names up.
Yeah. Second rental property. And again, exactly the same mortgage, rent, interest rate. The only difference with these guys is they bought their property 2 months before. So in February 2021. Ed, what's behind door number two? Will they have a lot, a little, or nothing in tax savings?
I think it's going to be a little.
Correct, because you wrote the notes. They get a slightly different set of tax rules. Over the last year, Kendra and Shay have still been able to deduct 50% of their interest costs when calculating their tax. And on the 1st of April, they go from 50% to 80%. So they're going to save about $38 a week. Now, in this scenario, they're going to get not as much of a change to the tax. But remember, they haven't had to have the full negative impact of the interest deductibility rules over the last couple of years. So they've kind of had some benefit, and that's why there's not this big jump.
Yeah, so they don't get the full effect of them being taken away because they didn't get the full effect of them being brought in the first place. Okay, now we're looking at the last house on the street, number three of three. Now, this one is owned by Deborah and Horne, and when they bought the house, they decided to rent it out to the local Salvation Army, the good old Sally Army, which is a social housing provider. Now, will they save a lot, a little, or nothing at all when the rules change, Andrew?
None.
They'll save nothing at all because when you rent a property out to a social housing provider, you get a special tax status. So Deborah and Horne, they've already been able to deduct all of their interest costs. They've stuck with the old rules. They had 100% deductibility. This meant they mainly dodged the impact of the interest deductibility changes and legally dodged the impact of them. So once the tax rules switch back, well, nothing changes. They could rent the property out to whoever they want now, but from a cash flow perspective, they're not saving on any tax. They will continue to deduct all of their interest costs just as they always have been. And that means there is no difference in the amount of tax they pay. Now, what's interesting, Andrew, is that in each of these three situations, the properties were identical, right? It was the same mortgage, the same type of house, same value, same interest rate, same rent. All that changed was the date they bought the property and who they chose to rent it out to. Yet one of these investors is going to save $152 a week, and another of these investors two doors down, they are not going to be better off at all when the rules change.
And it's funny because it sounds a little bit unfair when you look at it this way.
It actually does, eh? Yeah. You think, oh, well, how come they're $152 better off and Deborah and Horne are in exactly the same position?
I think that highlights the fact that the rules that Labor brought in were what was unfair. That created the disparity between different scenarios. And some investors are going to be better off under these rules, yes. But these are the investors who are better off because they've had the unfair rules and now they're just being brought onto a level playing field. National's changes create an even playing field again. And it makes it easier for property investors because you can rent your property out to whoever you like and the same tax rules apply for all property investors.
Yeah, it's quite funny. You know, some people might look at that and say, oh, they're creating an uneven playing field. No, no, no. The playing field was uneven. Now it's just leveling out. It's going to be the same for everybody. And what's this? A fourth house?
Oh, wow. Bonus round. Ding, bonus. Ding, 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 ding.
And the bonus ball is number 24.
So it goes to 9. We did this the last week.
You're thinking Powerball. The bonus ball goes to 40.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, you clearly don't play lotto.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's for the best. So we've got a fourth house on the street, one that wasn't mentioned in my one roof column. Again, it's an identical fourth house. $800,000 is what it's worth. It's rented out for $700 a week. And this one is owned by Harry and Alex. They bought it at the same time as our first couple, the ones who are going to save the most money. But these guys are older, so they bought this property for yield and they put in a big cash deposit so they'd have a small mortgage and they'd earn more rental income. So everything is the same, except these guys have a $100,000 mortgage rather than a $600,000 mortgage. So how much will the tax changes impact these guys?
Very little, because the mortgage is tiny. They're already paying tax on their income as if the mortgage is virtually non-existent.
Yeah, so remember how we said that interest deductibility, it's like being taxed if you don't have a mortgage, despite the fact that you still have a mortgage to pay. Well, if your mortgage is smaller, like these guys, like Harry and Alex, then the taxes didn't impact you as much. So these guys will only save about $30 a week because their mortgage is smaller. And all of this just shows how complex all of these rules really are. And one question that will probably come up is, Andrew, some of the numbers we're sharing here are a bit different to what we talked about on a podcast about 2 weeks ago, where we talked about some people getting up to an $18,000 tax benefit. So how come, you know, we're talking about slightly smaller numbers here?
Yeah, I think the biggest difference to remember is tax benefits are different to the cash flow and they can be two different numbers. So if you've got a big mortgage, you could be making a big taxable loss, but if you have a taxable loss of $1 or $100,000, you still pay zero in tax for that from the cash flow perspective. It won't change your outcome there. Those losses are then carried forward to the next year.
It's quite funny when you put it that way, right? Whether your tax loss is $1 or $100,000, you still pay the same amount of tax, which is $0 in total. And just to remind you, the way this works is that if you lose $1,000 on your property this year, and then you make $1,000 next year, you know, usually you'd pay tax on the $1,000 you made, but because you lost $1,000 the year before, they cancel each other out, you don't pay any tax, even though you made a profit that year. So you could get $18,000 worth of tax benefit, but it might only be $8,000 in tax savings like it was for the first couple we talked about, and they might have another $10,000 or so of tax benefit that they carry forward into future years.
And so then eventually when you do make a profit, and that could be through triggering Brightline or just positive cash flow, that's when you realize the benefits of those tax losses that have been carried forward.
But it's so amazing just how different the answer is, or how much tax people will actually save under these rules. It depends on so many different things, and I cannot wait. Just as someone who talks about property a lot, I can't wait till we get rid of the rules. We don't have to think about them anymore. It's the same for everyone. It's a level playing field.
Imagine how easy your return on investment spreadsheet or your analysis spreadsheet is going to be.
Yeah, I'm going to be able to get rid of a whole heap of stuff. Right, let's wrap it up there. But please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Really does help us get the message out to more people. And hey, I want you to come along to my upcoming webinar. It is on April the 16th. And the reason I want you to come is it's about these tax changes. Not just interest deductibility, but so much is changing in New Zealand right now. You've got to think about the Airbnb app tax. Some investors are going to pay more money in tax. Some investors aren't. So we're going to show you a range of different scenarios, talk about who's going to pay more tax, who's going to pay less tax, and what it means for your specific situation. Come along, the link is down in the show notes, so tap or swipe over the cover art, it'll be in there, or just go to opuspartners.co.nz/webinar. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Knight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
We're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of New Zealand property market. Until next time.